Data from a bunch of studies suggests exercise is a beneficial treatment for depression. ABC's Chuck Siebertson.
Walking, jogging, yoga, and strength training show notable effectiveness against depression, particularly at higher intensities. That's according to a study in the British Medical Journal that analyzed data from 218 other studies. Over 14,000 people of all ages with depression were studied. But the British Journal authors say they could only be sure of one particular study's lack of bias. All the other studies might be subpar. So, more studies needed.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Lefty Driesell died today. He was 92. Dave Packer, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Higher elementary school, and you talk about two languages. I just say this, you know, I just came back from visiting cousins in Scandinavia where young people are fluent in two, three, four languages. I'm one of those white American males that are stuck in English only. You know, the world is a tiny place. The more languages you have, the better off, and you're the better off economically you are. What was the family based? Was it primarily Latinos on the Spanish language?
The 50% of my class that spoke Spanish.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of families from Mexico, quite a few immigrants from Venezuela, Puerto Rico, lots of other places. I think I had a student once from Nicaragua. There was a lot of diversity too, which was cool because in Milwaukee it was mostly Mexican Puerto Rican students, and so in Waukesha we had a lot of different students representing different families representing different
much
backgrounds.
More of the whole hemisphere.
Yeah, and the kids really benefited from that, from learning all the different cultural differences and customs, and really understanding that just because you speak the same language doesn't mean that everything's the same in your family too.
Sure, yeah. And if you're English learning Spanish, you learn that the world is a very, very interesting and wonderful place.
This is true.
So thank you for sharing with that. Maybe, Sarah, how about if you jump in here and sort of give us sort of the background of sort of the what I call the far right takeover of education in Waukesha County, which is just really mind-boggling to me, given the fact that Waukesha is purple, that you could have such a far right takeover.
Yeah.
What was the background? How did that happen? How did that take, you know?
Yeah.
What occurred?
Sure. So we've seen over the past 3 years or so, especially, that a group called WISRED, which is part of the Wisconsin Republican Party, has been sponsoring candidates for Waukesha County, or Waukesha School Board, excuse me. And this is not unique to Waukesha. This is something we're seeing across the country. You see it in lots of places. But the impact that it's having, though, is that in the last three elections, we have almost a complete school board made of WISRED folks. And so they really have control over the board now. And we've seen in the last couple of years the politicization of our public education following the national Republican playbook. So things like in the fall of 2021, we had a letter from the superintendent to the district talking about controversial issues. And that's part of what came to play as part of the issue with Rainbow Land. And I'm sure you guys will jump into that a little bit more. I won't get into the details there. We also, this year in January of 2023, saw two things happen. A staff dress code that very specifically called out that lanyards and masks have to be solid color. And that was quite obvious to anyone who was paying attention that that was a move against having rainbow lanyards. And then the one that's most disturbing for me is this document called the Parental Bill of Rights and Transparency. And that was introduced in January 2023. And to give you an idea of where this came from, if you go out to the Moms for Liberty website, they have a template that you can download. And the first sentence is nearly identical to the Waukesha document. There were a few words that were changed slightly. So we know where this is coming from. It's coming from Republican influence. It's coming from groups like Moms for Liberty. And Moms for Liberty was actually declared as a hate group this year by the Southern Poverty Law Center due to some of their actions out, you know, across the country. But other folks who have introduced parental bill of rights with similar verbiage would be Josh Hawley in the Senate. We had 12 Republican assembly reps and 4 Republican state senators who introduced a similar bill last year. And then this year in the House of Representatives in the U.S. House, we had a group of Republicans, including our very own Scott Fitzgerald, who introduced a very similar bill. So they're obviously following in the footsteps of these Republican leaders.
So, you know, it seems to me what's really ironic and, you know, contextually, you say you're for liberty, and the question is liberty for who?
Yeah.
Right? We've heard a lot about that there is this perception, or, you know, coming out of the right, that somehow if you're teaching history, mm-hmm. right, as it occurred, that you are somehow disregarding somebody's liberty or the Constitution. Mm-hmm. What's really, though, it's sort of this sense of how are they breeding intolerance? And you mentioned hate. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's really sort of the essence of where we're at in Waukesha County, frankly, Wisconsin. And, you know, I live in Milwaukee, but Milwaukee was focused, you know, attacked, you know, its diversity, equity, and inclusion mm-hmm. policies were attacked. So as we come up to a break, folks, I want to come back right away. Melissa Temple is going to be here. We're going to talk about how someone with all these qualifications, a quarter century of really, really sound educational experience, is thrown out of the system of violating her constitutional rights, First Amendment rights. And Sarah Harrison, who has been active and have kids in the system. Mm-hmm. So please come on back. We want to talk about this, where we're going as a state. And who we are as a people is really, really profound, folks. You know, we say we want to form a more perfect union. We'll be right back to talk about how we can do that.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM every Monday night from 7 to 8. We are here talking about a key issue. How do we get our education system right in the state and in particular in Waukesha County? I'm delighted and honored to have Melissa Temple here. And before we went on the break, you know, she's a teacher for 25 plus years and recently terminated for violating her First Amendment rights. And Sarah Harrison, a longtime activist moving Waukesha County forward. So welcome back, folks. We talked about this new takeover and the intolerance and the policy changes and this idea that you can't engage in controversial topics. As a teacher, you were here for several years before this happened. How did that come across as an educator in the system? How did you feel that?
Well, I think, first of all, it was confusing because as public school teachers and educators, our job is to serve everybody and to make everybody feel welcome and included in our schools. And so to say that anything could be deemed controversial was very hard to understand. I can give you an example. Like, for example, during the time I was working in Waukesha, Columbus Day changed to Indigenous Peoples Day here in Wisconsin. And so does that mean having a conversation about why that happened with my students would be seen as controversial to some people? And could I be punished for having that conversation in my classroom? That is one of the things that we encourage parents and students to think about and talk about in, you know, it was current events. It's part of our curriculum. So it caused a lot of frustration, but also I would even say worry and nervousness amongst teachers, like what is controversial and what is going to get me into trouble? You know, we've heard a lot of stories about how one parent can complain about something and then it turns somebody's world upside down because the school board goes along with that complaint and disciplines somebody or changes the curriculum or removes books from our libraries.
So we have Rainbow Land, right? A song by Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus. What's the background to that as a teacher? What did you know about it? What was going on leading up to your off-duty comment on the facts?
So we, the music teacher was preparing a spring concert, and he asked my partner teacher, Angie, and I if we had any ideas for songs. We always sing songs in our classroom, and we like singing. It's part of our community building. And so he just, you know, wanted feedback. And I think what people don't understand about picking songs for first graders is that it's very complicated sometimes. You know, you want the song to be the right pace. You don't want it to have any really big words in it. You want it to be words that the kids understand and message that they can understand. And a lot of teachers have probably understand, like, if you pick a song that's too fast paced, the kids can't pronunciate any of the words and then no one knows what they're saying. And sometimes it's cute, but you know, it's better when you can understand. So we were just going back and forth with emails about what songs might be good. And I suggested It's a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. We had offered It's a Small World. I think somebody said Rainbow Connection at some point. And then the music teacher suggested the song Rainbow Land and sent us a link from YouTube. And then we listened to it and we thought, oh, this is perfect. It's got a really wholesome message. It's a song by somebody that a lot of the kids know and the parents all like know Dolly Parton too. And nobody had heard of the song, which was the cool part about it. It was like, oh, how did this song fly out under the radar? It was from 2017, you know, and still people tell me, oh, I never heard of that song, you know? He picked it and went with it. And that's another thing I think is important to understand is that this was a music teacher's part of his professional duties. This wasn't something that was part of my professional duties. So, you know, people say, why didn't I make a complaint with my administrator? Well, it was none of my business what he was going to pick for his program. It was his program. And I wouldn't overstep like that and go to the principal and say, I heard that the music teacher said, you know, he wanted to have this song and you said no. Like, I was like, all right, if he's okay with it, then I'm not going to step on any toes. But I did tweet about it because I knew people would be interested.
So you tweeted, but you didn't tweet from work, right?
No.
This is off duty. And this is a public comment. And what was the, I mean, you just said what, reported the fact that...
Yeah, I can read it for you, actually. It says...
That's great. Do it. I was hoping you could.
Yeah. My first graders were so excited to sing Rainbowland for our spring concert, but it has been vetoed by our administration. When will it end? And then I tagged Waukesha Schools, Dolly Parton, Miley Cyrus, and some other, like, civil rights off of civil rights and hashtag public schools. And my intention behind that was to create some public discussion. I knew that a lot of parents were concerned about the new policies in the district, and I knew a lot of community members and teachers were concerned about it. And I also knew that all over the country, we've heard about these different policy changes that were very similar. And we had just changed the rules that teachers were not allowed to use students' pronouns or names unless they had officially been changed on their documents with the school district. So it felt, and then also the masks and the lanyards, as Sarah mentioned earlier. So it felt like we were snowballing into a very uncharted territory. You know, like, when is it going to end? And that was my point. And I think I accomplished my goal of just having some public discussion about it.
Folks, you just heard it right here, the truth from Melissa Temple. We'll be back after the break to find out what the repercussions of what happened to Melissa as a result of that. And I want you to just think about, before you come back, what is it we're trying to teach our children, and what are we afraid of as a people, if we're afraid of Rainbow Land and teachers with great qualifications are attacked for it. We'll be right back, folks.
Is the talk you can't ignore.
Even if you tried.
Why is everyone ignoring me?
Find out why all of lacrosse is talking about Eagle 1490.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. At the Munich Security Conference today, Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba urging Western allies, including the United States, to ramp up the supply of ammunition and weapons.
It's not my political assessment. It's the message that we all receive from the front line. The president, his military advisors, I know people on the front line, officers, soldiers who are texting and saying it's bad. We need more ammunition.
This as Avdiivka has become the first Ukrainian city to fall since the U.S. became deadlocked in sending more military aid. Russia saying it's taken full control of what's left of the city. More than 400 people holding vigils for Alexei Navalny have been arrested in 32 Russian cities, according to the opposition leader's surviving activist group. Children's Mercy Hospital, Kansas City, says all of their patients who were injured during this week's shooting at the Chiefs Super Bowl celebration have been discharged. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
How to get out of a slump. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team trying to rebound after that four-game losing streak. In January, they won 7 out of 8 games and were ranked 6th in the nation. This week, they're 20th. After finally ending a four-game slump with that win over Ohio State, head coach Greg Gard has tried everything.
We'll get out of it. You know, we'll get back. We had a bad week. You know, I thought we played all right against Goodwood. And there were like a few possessions back here or there. A bad half against Nebraska. But, you know, this last past week sucked. Yeah, and we got to play better. We'll play well. So, get back to playing well, playing how we know we can play, how we have played. You know? So that's the main thing. It's just continue to reinforce, remember who we were and who we have been. And you've been that a lot more than what you've been the past week.
That's the Wisconsin Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Quite windy today. Winds will gust over 30 miles per hour, maybe 35 out of the west. Even though we'll have sunshine and air temps near 32, wind chills will be near zero or below most of the day. For tonight, mostly clear and breezy and a low around 25. Right now, 35.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for Black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Talk about lacrosse in Wisconsin without the yelling and screaming. These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night. WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. And I have Melissa Temple, an educator for a quarter century, who expressed her First Amendment rights and was, you know, there's an attempt to silence her. And I'm here with Sarah Harrison, and we're talking about education. But folks, before I jump back into that, I have to touch base on something that's always coming up, right? This is Packer season coming. Sundays in Wisconsin. It is almost a sacred tradition that beats loud and proud. The Green Bay Packers. You've dreamt of being a part of this winning franchise, and now you can. Folks, Civic Media's WRJN in Racine, Kenosha will broadcast every game all season long. And your business can be in the huddle and on the line of scrimmage when you become a sponsor of the Packer broadcast. Folks, the Civic Media marketing teams are ready to get you signed up with the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Badgers, and with local high school sports broadcasts. Call and make an appointment to speak with one of Civic Media's team members about this amazing opportunity. You know, folks, Civic Media is just expanded across the state. It's really an amazing opportunity. You can call now to set up an appointment, 608-819-8255. Folks, that is 608-819-8255. But you must hurry because these appointments are filling fast and only a few sponsorships remain. Your business can be affiliated with America's favorite team, that is the Green Bay Packers. 608-819-8255. Get off the sidelines and get in the game. Call today. Before we get back into the business of this, we've got a listener, Lou.
Hi there.
Hey, Lou, thanks. You got a comment, question?
Yeah, I got a comment. Southern Poverty Law Center keeps what they have is what they call a hate list. And some of your leftist activists have gone after certain groups, like, for example, a guy with a weapon, one of your followers, was using that as a map to go and come after domestic conservative organizations, and shot a security guard in the shoulder in Washington, D.C. in one of those operations. And also I've learned that...
Lou, I don't know what you're talking about here, but if you got a comment about education and free speech in Wisconsin, it would be time to make it now.
Well, here's free speech. President Biden has allowed in about 6 million illegals now, and now we're seeing rises in tuberculosis, and leprosy is presenting itself in Florida.
Hey,
is that
Lou,
okay with you?
You got anything to say about free speech and liberty and education in Wisconsin? If not, this is the last chance.
What?
Okay, last chance.
I'm practicing liberty and free speech right now.
Well, we're trying to talk about education, and, you know, we're talking about a teacher that spent 25 years of her life to create a more perfect union to teach American civics and the American Constitution to new immigrants.
You don't get to hide behind the American Constitution. Yeah, you are.
I'm not hiding behind it. It's my Constitution. It's my red and white flag, right? I've been reading my kids' Declaration of Independence every 4th of July for years and years and years. Yes.
But so, you're working on a station and working for a system that believes in...
democracy and moving forward. Thanks, Lou. Well, that was a nice little interruption. Let's get back to the subject at hand. Melissa, you tweeted out. What do we say now? You X'd out? You know, I mean, that's going to be interesting, right? But
yeah,
anyway.
You know.
But you tweeted out the truth. You read it. Right? Mm-hmm. So what happened?
Not a whole lot. I think some people saw my tweet, and then it started picking up steam on the internet. It was shared, I think, amongst parents in Waukesha. And some parents from my school saw it and then began to call and ask the principal why we weren't allowed to sing the song. And I believe some of the local media called my school. And lo and behold, the next day we were told we couldn't sing Rainbow Connection in the program either. But that was reversed within 24 hours by the superintendent. So it was very quick, you know, interesting conglomeration of songs.
But they're not letting you teach this fall.
Is that right? So over that next week was spring break, and that's when the media started picking up on all this. And Friday I went home from school and saw, oh, you know, the LA Times had posted about my tweet or written an article about it. And then people started approaching me via Twitter, asking me about what happened. And then I shared about our different policy changes, and people just ran with it. And by the end of that spring break week, I saw a letter to the district. And then when I went to work on Monday, or a letter from the district. And then when I went to work on Monday, I was told I was on administrative leave, and I wasn't given any reason, but I was asked to leave and give up my district computer and iPad.
So the biggest disruption for your kids was the fact that the district yanked you out of the class. Would that be fair? That's a rhetorical question to you, Melissa. But Sarah, you were there. Your kids are in the school. Mm-hmm. How did the public and you react to what I call is very heavy-handed you know, a real violation of constitutional rights. You know, I don't know what the right is afraid of, right? I mean, it's...
Well, apparently leprosy, according to our friend Lou. But other than that, so my kids are a little older. My youngest is still in the Waukesha system, but is in high school. And frankly, when they heard about what was happening, it was a very similar note to how I opened my letter to the board after Melissa was put on leave. And I said, well, I'm not surprised, but I am disappointed. And, you know, I'm using my mom tone here because I don't know what else to say to you guys. Is, of course, this is what they would do. They have been absolutely ridiculous in their interpretation of controversial. And actually, Jim Sievert sort of let it slip in a parent meeting back in, I believe it was in February, where someone had asked what qualifies as controversial. And he actually said, well, it's mostly this rainbow stuff and we have to keep it out of classrooms. But he didn't give any reason or anything like that. So they can say all they want to that it's not about that. History seems to prove otherwise to me, in my view and in the view of my kids.
So, you know, your kids, how old are they? And how did they respond to this? How do they feel about this when a teacher was only talking about first graders singing a Dolly Parton song gets fired?
A song about acceptance, ironically.
Yeah, but I'm right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
How does that gel with this notion that we're a democracy?
Sure. Well, so my kids are 16 and 19 now, and my oldest is actually also at UW-Milwaukee, so we've got like a whole trifecta going on here.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
My oldest is at UW-Milwaukee as well.
Oh, look at that. Nice. And my youngest, a couple years back when the controversial issues letter went out to the district, actually stood in front of the school board, which is a pretty intimidating room, even for adults, but for a 14-year-old kid, that's a real intimidating room. And my youngest, Chuck, said to this group of people, you are hurting me as a queer student, and what are you going to do to fix it? And they haven't done anything to fix it. They've only made it worse in the intermediary times. Wow. Since then. It's only been made worse. And, you know, you say, what is the right afraid of? I'm not sure, but I can tell you what I'm afraid of is Wisconsin turning into Florida, where they can no longer teach AP psychology because they are banned from talking about sex and gender in the classroom. So they can't teach AP psychology. And they straight out just said they're not going to teach AP African American Studies because of a piece of legislature actually dubbed the Stop Woke Act, which requires that if you're going to talk about slavery, you have to talk about how slaves developed skills that helped them later after they were freed. I do not want to be the next Florida. And if we don't stop some of these things from happening, that's the path we're on here in Wisconsin. And I don't want to sound alarmist, but we've got to get in front of this and stop it from happening.
So just following up on that, Sarah, what's the response from other parents? Is there a developing coalition of folks that are figuring out how to address it?
Sure. So there's a group called the Alliance for Education in Waukesha, and they are out there trying to help support public schools and public education and making sure that health and educational resources are available to all of our students. So that group is out there. And then there are some other similar groups in neighboring school districts as well. So what we really need is for folks to, first of all, always vote. but we need some strong candidates who are really looking to bring some sanity back to the school district, who will be on that board and be the voice of reason rather than following in political playbook footsteps.
So going back to you, Melissa, you know, you worked in the system for at Waukesha 5 years, so obviously you knew a lot of other teachers and many, many parents. What's the response been from those folks to you?
Overwhelmingly supportive. I have not had one complaint directed towards me from any of the parents that I taught, from the students that I taught in my class this year. I had 24 students. All of them wanted me to come back. I have not heard anything directly from even any parents in the district. No one's reached out to me to tell me that they wanted me fired, that they thought I should stay home. I've only heard from trolls on Twitter. So,
Trolls on X.
Oh, sorry, X, yes. We have to be able to change names because that's something that we can all learn to do. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We should be able to, right?
Yeah.
Right, and I guess Elon's got the right to go from Twitter to X, and you know, kids should be able to use whatever pronoun they want to use, right?
True.
If Elon Musk can do it, why can't the kids? Is there any activity, Sarah, like going on right now before the school starts that focuses on this as we come up to the break?
No activities or that specifically that I can think of. Since we're coming into the fall, we'll definitely be doing some school supply drives, that sort of thing. But no real activities coming up that I can think of.
All right. So, folks, we are coming up to our last break. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. We are here every Monday night, right here in the heart of Waukesha County, dedicated to moving Wisconsin forward, always forward. We'll be right back, folks, with more from Melissa Temple and Sarah Harrison.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
The Todd Allbus Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, every Monday night at 7 to 8. Tonight, I am honored and privileged to have Melissa Temple, a teacher that was fired for exercising her First Amendment rights right here in Waukesha, and Sarah Harrison, a well-known activist in education and moving Waukesha forward. You know, we were talking about how these changes, this new intolerance to folks. How's that impacting schools, Melissa? And what can you share with us?
Well, according to the 2021 National School Climate Survey, students who could identify 11 or more staff members within their buildings that were supportive and welcoming and willing to talk to them were much less likely to miss school because they felt unsafe or uncomfortable. They felt greater belonging to their school community, performed better academically in school, and were more likely to plan on pursuing post-secondary education. Students that could identify supportive staff were also reported better. They reported better psychological well-being, so higher levels of self-esteem, lower levels of depression. And we removed those safe space stickers from classroom doors that identified teachers as being supportive in Waukesha. We removed a lot of signs with rainbows that said, "We welcome everybody." We removed signs that, although I never saw one, a sign that said "anti-racist classroom," which was quite alarming. And so we have to think about what that message is saying to our students and how they feel when they enter the buildings now, and also how teachers feel when they go into the buildings, knowing that those signs were available and made them feel comfortable and included, and they've now been removed.
You know, I guess the fact that it's having this chilling impact, not only with the kids, but with teachers, gets us to a key question. What is your plan on how to respond to this act by the school board to take out a teacher's teacher, a skilled teacher's teacher, one committed to every student and not just some?
So I am planning to file a federal lawsuit against the district for violating my First Amendment rights. And that should be happening in the next couple weeks.
As a lawyer that represents people that pursue their individual rights or civil rights, this suit needs to be brought. And I look forward to reading it and watching it. And we'll definitely have you back.
If my lawyer will let me. You can talk.
We'll talk. So we'll never ask about privilege information, okay. That's for sure. So, Sarah, from the community's point of view, mm-hmm. how do you think parents, students are going to respond to this lawsuit?
Well, I think that the community will continue to be supportive of Melissa. When we had last month was Melissa's hearing with the board, and there was a pretty large crowd. I believe we had around 130-ish people there to support Melissa, and there were three people who were counter-protesting who were not from the district. So I think that shows a lot about where the community stands on this issue. We just need to continue to make those voices heard and for people to show their support.
So if there were only three voices, antagonistic to Melissa, mm-hmm. and the overwhelming of folks present, how is it that you get Superintendent Siebert? How does he pull off terminating somebody? I mean, how does this happen in Waukesha County? I mean, it's never been, I'm in Milwaukee, and it was always purple, mm-hmm. but there was always a sense that there was justice in the county, and some element of fairness. I mean, what are people saying?
Well, I mean, we have a school board member who publicly had stated defund public schools before he was even elected. So the fact that he was elected at all is disturbing. And he was over talking to the counter protesters, but, he didn't come over and talk to the 130 people who had the other point of view. So I think we're looking at a microcosm of a very specific subset of the community's values. And those are the people who have found their way into this board. And that's why we have to make sure that we are running strong candidates to truly represent the community's interests And I think Melissa had something that she wanted to throw in too.
Oh, I mean, along the same lines, I think there's definitely a conservative attack on our public schools. And like you said earlier, groups like Moms for Liberty and WIS Red are posing as grassroots organizations that are formed by parents. But in reality, they're really extremely well-funded and politically driven. They run school board candidates who are designed to make anyone who identifies as part of a marginalized group feel unwelcome and unseen, unsafe in schools even. And these are people that are going to school board meetings and complaining about the books in our libraries, the songs that we're singing. And we've waited too long. I think that things are already worse, so we really can't wait any longer. And I agree, it does sound alarmist, but it's incredibly frightening what's happened in other places around the country. And I think that we would be very naive to believe that that couldn't happen here. In fact, it has already happened in many areas, right here in Waukesha and other neighboring districts. So honestly, I feel like I have been fired, and it's horrible. I wish I could be in my classroom. But if I have the opportunity to speak about what's happened to me and create awareness about all of these horrible policies that are really harmful to our kids, I'm willing to take the opportunity and try to make it into something good and make some changes for our students. So,
you know, I noted that there were teachers that are resigning. Mm-hmm. And it's some very, very well-qualified people that are resigning. Mm-hmm. Is it the perception, Sarah, that there's like this intolerance and attack and retaliation?
Yeah, absolutely. The teachers are walking around feeling overly scrutinized, and that they are not being allowed to do what they are educated to do, and that they need to, we need to let our teachers teach. They're well-trained to do so. And
folks, please listen to Sarah and Melissa. You know, we should never be afraid to have our kids educated and be responsible and well-educated citizens. I mean, we're only stronger that way. So please get out there, run for office, help transform Waukesha. It was once a place that you could talk about moving forward. Let's do it again, folks. This is
broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest.
With everything lacrosse is talking about.
You're soaring with Eagle 1490.
Coming up Monday on Matt Nair On Air, UW-Madison entomologist P.J. Leash joins the show. They're coming. Don't miss it.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above lacrosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. World leaders reacting to the report of Alexei Navalny's death Friday. At the Munich Security Conference, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz.
First, I'm really depressed having heard about the death of Navalny. Though we don't have every proof now, it seems to be the case that this really happened.
Moscow saying that the Russian opposition leader and political prisoner held in a Siberian penal colony collapsed and died. President Biden says Vladimir Putin's responsible. The first Ukrainian city has fallen since the U.S. became deadlocked in sending more military aid. Ukraine military announcing it's retreated from the key city of Avdiivka in eastern Ukraine, ceding it to Russia after months of ferocious fighting that cost tens of thousands of Russian casualties. A deadly house explosion in Virginia. Firefighters were inside, one volunteer firefighter losing his life, at least 10 other firefighters and 2 civilians hurt. This is ABC News. A former college basketball star who spent more than a decade in the NBA received a new heart. ABC's Brian Clark has details.
Awake and feeling great. That's how the wife of NBA champion Scott Pollard described his condition after he underwent a heart transplant on Friday in Nashville. Pollard, who turned 49 on Monday, needed a transplant because his heart suffered damage in a virus he caught in 2021. Problem was his size. He's 6'11", 260 pounds, so it took longer to find a heart big enough for his body. Pollard, who appeared on Survivor after his NBA career, went public with his need for a transplant last month. Brian Clark, ABC News.
If you're traveling by car this President's Day weekend, you can expect to pay a little bit extra, AAA reporting. Gas prices nationwide have climbed an average of 11 cents per gallon this week alone and are expected to go